This is the Texas Standard. I'm Laura Rice. Much of the discussion surrounding firearms right now is about gun control measures and violence. We don't talk a lot about how the gun industry is an industry, and it's been going through some ups and downs lately. All of that came to a head just last week when firearms giant Remington filed for bankruptcy. And they aren't the only company that's facing increasingly difficult challenges as market demands shift. The Texas Standard's Alon Stevens reports.
This is your Ruger 308. And these were very difficult to get, you know, while President Obama was in office.
That is Michael Cargill. He owns and operates Central Texas Gunworks, a gun store in Austin. He shows me around some of his inventory, which is fully stocked, a far cry from how it was a few years ago when he'd have to beg and plead for manufacturers to give him the inventory when the demand was high. Now the tide has turned.
And now it's great. They're offering wonderful deals. You know, if you buy six of these, you get one gun free.
Cargill says he still moves a lot of product, but the prices are lower than they were before, and that has got to be hurting the manufacturer. It all stems back to a boom in the industry that started nearly a decade ago, with sales that hit a 60-year high. Jürgen Brauer is an emeritus professor of economics from Augusta University in Georgia. His expertise is in the arms market. He says the rise in sales for the last decade is unprecedented.
We go from about 1,000 weapons per 100,000 people per year to just about 3,000 weapons per 100,000 people per year. So that's a tripling of the market over the last 10, 12 years. That's a dramatic increase.
And Brower's analysis holds true with what the federal government has seen. According to the FBI, it would run 8 million background checks for firearm purchases in 2005. That number would skyrocket to 25 million in 2017. Analysts concluding that the sales boom was this perfect storm, a mixture of regulatory fears, of military technology trickling into the civilian gun market, and also consumers simply having more buying power in the aftermath of a recession.
Part of it, certainly, after the financial crisis had ended, is a recovery of the U.S. economy. So incomes are recovering, and it's only to be expected as people have more disposable income. They spend it on all kinds of things, and if you're interested in firearms, you spend more on firearms.
And the gun industry was reaping the benefits. The National Shooting Sports Foundation released a report showing that between 2008 and 2016, the arms and ammunition industry would see an 81% increase in jobs and 137% increase in wages for workers. But all is not well in the firearms market. Gun companies have recently seen a sharp decline in sales, something many refer to as the Trump slump. Robert Farrago is a gun enthusiast and blogger for the website The Truth About Guns. He says gun companies made a critical mistake during the 2016 election.
The gun manufacturers ramped up production. They figured this is it, the mother load. We're going to get another one just like we did the Obama surge. We're going to get another Hillary surge. It didn't happen. And you have sliding prices, and you also have people buying guns who say, okay, I've had enough now. I've bought enough guns. So the market has gone down because of that.
And financial reports show this pretty clearly. American Outdoors brand, formerly known as Smith & Wesson, had stocks at five-year highs right before the 2016 election. Since then, stocks have plummeted by nearly 70%. Ruger, another gun manufacturer, would follow a similar trend with stocks dropping by 40% in that same time frame. This has caused some companies to explore other options outside of firearms, such as clothing, camping equipment, and firearm accessories. One salvation gun companies may find is in the market for highly regulated items, such as short barrel rifles and suppressors. The Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives require hefty amounts of paperwork for buyers. James Willey is an attorney in Austin who specializes in helping customers with that paperwork. It soon turned into a business.
Some of the dealers started seeing my work, and they started asking me if I wouldn't mind occasionally doing a gun trust for one of their customers, and then occasionally the phone would ring. And then little by little, you know, the phone started ringing and more dealers started asking me if I wouldn't mind doing trust for their customers as well.
The ATF keeps tabs on such items as suppressors. In 2014, about 600,000 suppressors would be registered. Last year, that number would balloon to over 1,300,000. Willie says, however, that it's still a small market for companies to rely on. Meanwhile, the firearms industry is hoping to mitigate some of those barriers for potential customers. Last year, a bill known as the Hearing Protection Act was introduced in the House. That law would make it easier to buy suppressors. Likewise, companies have recently found a way to work around a ban on short barrel rifles by creating an accessory that, once attached, technically classifies the weapon as a handgun. All ideas that may bring some new life to an already oversaturated market. I'm Alon Stevens for the Texas Standard.
Support for coverage of business on Texas Standard comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a policyholder-owned workers' comp provider offering safe driving resources to keep workers safe on the road. Videos and more at WorkSafeTexas.com.
You're listening to the Texas Standard.